Hi guys, and welcome to my second podcast. My name's Khan, and this podcast will be a series of me and my flatmates and my friends talking about our experience here in Seville. Today, we have our first guest of many, Nico from France. So, Nico, hello.
Okay, hello.
How are you, Nico? How's stuff? How's life?
Here. Everything is incredible. Yeah. I really like the city, and for the moment, the Erasmus experience is really, really nice.
And what did you think about coming here, and did you expect it to be?
I came for the first time in September 2018 for vacation with friends, and I really fell in love with the city.
Okay.
And so when I came back to France, I have a meeting for Erasmus, in my faculty, and they say, "Oh, okay, we have a new destination. It's Seville," and I was coming back from there, 15 days before, and so I was thinking, "Oh, I really, really want to go there," and so now I'm here, so I'm really, really happy.
Yeah, I mean, Seville has been quite the experience for the both of us, because we were one of the first to come into the flat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember the day I came in and I saw you were leaving to go somewhere, and then you asked for my Instagram.
Yeah.
And then, that's the day we first met. We shared the Wi-Fi password.
Yeah,
because we didn't know. Yeah, that's how we met. So tell us a bit about yourself. How old are you? What do you study?
I'm 23. I'm 23. I'm in my third year of law studies.
Your third year of law?
Yeah, third year. So yeah, before I screw two medicine years, so mm-hmm. it's why I'm quite older.
Yeah.
From my classmate, but uh-huh. it's okay.
And do you enjoy medicine, medicine and stuff?
Medicine, not really, because in France it's really hard study. You have to work a lot, and first year isn't really interesting, but since I'm in law, law is very interesting.
But there's so much. There's so much to law, because there's so many things to remember. I'd imagine, and there's different parts of law, different areas of study.
Yeah, also here it's very different, because I'm I could learn some laws which are unusual for me, Spanish laws. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I study penal, mm-hmm. but in the Spanish system, which is way different than the French one, and so it will be useful for me in the future. But it's interesting to learn how works the thing here.
And talking about law, we know that weed is legal.
Yeah, here the statute of weed is really different from France and from the other countries.
And what part of France are you from?
Normandy. So at the northwest, of Paris.
And weed isn't legal there?
No, not at all.
You wish.
Yeah, it could be a good thing for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing, the way they control it here, how you can sign up to an association.
Yeah.
And you can't possess weed, you can't smoke it outside.
Yeah, is that the law? I think I'm not an expert, but I think you have a little. You can't have more than 5 grams on you.
5 grams, yeah.
And but you can subscribe an inscription in association.
Yeah.
This statute is really nice. I think the French system isn't the good one, but I don't think the Netherlands one is the good one. But this kind of mix,
it's between,
and I think it's a good compromise.
Yeah, and did you know coming to Seville you'd be smoking weed as regular as you've done in France, or did it increase when you came here?
Yeah, it probably increased a bit, but probably. But you have to find an equilibrium.
How long have you been using weed for?
A few years. Yeah, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and this was the first time in France.
The first time in France.
And being a student, do you think it's in a way comforting? So when you're a student, you go out a lot. to enjoy the weekend,
yeah,
or whatever. But with weed, do you think it's a good thing for students to like consume it and kind of relax themselves? Do you think it's a good thing for students to do that? Or
it could be, because I think that now in our society, like, students have a lot of work, maybe I think more than the precedent generation, and a lot quantity of stress, like problems of money and stuff like this, and yeah, of course, like, this weed can help.
Yeah, and for the new people who have never tried weed before, would you suggest them to start, or would you just say, if you don't do it, if you're not doing it, just carry on not consuming it? Or
I think that everyone have to make his own choice of smoking or not smoking, but mm-hmm. yeah, for sure I will say to everybody that it's even better to smoke weed than cigarettes.
Yeah,
and so yeah, I know lots of people who change cigarettes by weed, and they it helped them, and yeah, so for me it's a good thing. It's a bad thing.
I mean, over here in Seville, I feel like it's very calm. They're very like tranquil about it. Like if they see you consuming it, they don't really kind of care, as long as you're not affecting anyone else in the public. But you had a story where the police just come up to you and you just acted like you didn't know Spanish.
Yeah, it's the good way to with police. Yeah. But yeah, the situation is quite okay, because like, yeah, when I see police, they don't say me anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, no problem. Yeah, the situation, yeah, different from France.
Obviously, I mean, it's kind of a growing topic, because there's a lot of, wouldn't say activists, but there's a lot of people who think it should be legal, because in a way it's better than cigarettes. And I think cigarettes are more harmful compared to weed, like, depending on how you consume it and how much, but I feel like cigarettes are, you know, a bit more, has a bit of a effect on you compared to weed.
Yeah, but I think that the phenomenon of addiction is really, really strong with really the strongest, like, for cigarette than for weed. Like, if we take the South America example, like, we maybe you will have her in interview, but of Martina. Who smoke weed also, and but they didn't put any tobacco inside.
Yeah, so it's just weed.
Just weed. Yeah, they are really strong.
Yeah, and the corridor does smell.
And yeah, them, for example, they don't have like the accoutumance in French. Like, no, they are not addicted. Sorry, okay, they are not addicted. Like, cause yeah, probably what makes you addicted also is the tobacco in the joint. Like when you do it like the European way. But yeah, them, they don't have this problem. And yeah, with cigarettes, you start smoking, and if you like it, you smoke more, and at least you smoke one packet by day. And it's not the same way. You can't smoke infinitely.
Well, moving on from weed, because this is a podcast about education.
No problem.
Yeah, we're kind of getting into weed a bit more than we have to. Looking at the education system here, like Erasmus in Spain or in Seville, how different is it to France? Is it similar? Is the teaching ways the same in France? What would you say?
For me, it's really different, because in French, I'm in a public university. Mm-hmm. Like, so in law, in the first year, we are more than 1,000. The second, we are like 450. And now for my third year, I'm in classes where there's no more than 10 people.
Okay.
With a teacher. So yeah, the teacher can take the time with each
it's more personal
us. Yeah, of course, more because yeah. Like I don't know why, but like the partnership of my university is with a private, so I'm in a private university,
a here. Private university,
yeah, yeah. And so there I think I'm the only one student who doesn't pay nothing. It's really strange, but okay, for me it's mm-hmm. even nice, even more nice. And so yeah for me it's really different to be in small class.
Yeah, I mean, I always think it's better to have a smaller class because the groups, every group know each other. So if anyone needs help, you will know who has the strengths and weaknesses and who you can go for help. And as you said, the teacher, she takes more time into looking at your work. Absolutely. And
but yeah, there's also problem when there's only class of 10 is that the morning that you didn't wake up, the teacher see this.
Notices, yeah. I mean,
yeah. That's, in a that's big, a fair point. In a big class with 300 people, nobody really cares. Is. But yeah, when you're only 10, and you know, like we often like to go out like on Tuesday night.
Uh-huh.
Often the Wednesday morning, it's quite difficult.
There's to no go. One in the class.
Yeah. There's no me. Or 1 week on two.
Yeah, I mean, you said going out. Is the partying and the nightlife in Sevilla, which one is it?
Sevilla. I call this Sevilla because I speak Spanish too.
Yeah. So Sevilla. Do you think it's better here compared to Normandy?
Oh, yeah, of course. Normandy, I'm not from big city. Mm-hmm. Normandy, 100,000
people. Shout out to Normandy.
Yeah. And so, yeah. No, it's way, but it's best. But there, I think there is two sides of the night in Sevilla. Cause when we came, so we came in the same day, so we was there in the same time. There is at this moment there were like the outside clubs.
Outside clubs, yeah.
Yeah, and I will enjoy them. And so when I came here, I start with more than 1 month without school, so I was really able to
work,
go out every night because I didn't have any school. In the outdoor clubs it was
really incredible. The outdoor clubs were very nice. The fact that you can smoke shisha, it wasn't too there weren't too many people in the clubs.
It wasn't full.
I'd say the only problem was the bar where you had to wait long to get a drink, course. And that was frustrating because you wait and the barman doesn't even look at you when you're waiting there in front of them. But I think that's the Spanish thing, like the service and the customer service and stuff here. Like you can be in front of them and they'll be on the phone talking to someone else. I said previously, like they're very relaxed people. Like
of course. And I also see this in at school that often
the teachers
often it's not me who doesn't wake up, it's the teacher. So
you'd email them and they wouldn't reply for a couple of days.
And sometimes they don't come and cancel courses and this kind of thing happen all the time.
I mean it's the same back, like isn't the same back home, because back home us UK students, we pay over £9,000 every year to go to university.
So in England, no?
Exactly. So it's like if they don't reply, it's like we're paying them, and they're not even doing their job properly. So I think there'd be a real problem if the teachers didn't really care, because at the end of the day, if your course is 3 or 4 years, you're leaving the university with £40,000 debt, and like you want to get your money's worth. Although I know a lot of us don't attend to the lectures and don't go to university because we either go out or we just want to sleep all day.
Of course, like the system is really different, and you have like probably
it is unfortunately
not the worst. I can't say this because I don't know it, but it's really expensive. Mm-hmm. And here, like in France, going to university is free.
It's free. You don't have to pay for anything.
No. And at least with the system of Erasmus, I receive like
the grant.
They pay me to go in Erasmus, and I'm not like I don't have like how did you say this in English? Like often when you're at university, like you have helps from the States.
Yeah, like a grant, a bursary.
Yeah, I never received this, but like for Erasmus, it's a system like it's the same for everyone. Yes. And so yeah, everyone receive thing for
300
me,
a month.
No, less than this. This is when you go to United Kingdom because the life is more expensive. So in Spain, I think it's 230 by month. So it's really
yeah.
Okay.
Everyone gets different because of their circumstances back home. Like if they're from a poorer background, they'd get more money.
Yeah, I think there is like three zone. Mm-hmm. Three zone where each zone of like, for example, like the where they send you the most money is like Nordic countries, like Sweden,
yeah.
Norway,
Romantic, yeah, yeah.
And United Kingdom, and like Netherlands too, because I think life is expensive there. And yeah, Spain is in like one of the less grades, because yeah, I don't know that here the life is really
and
less expensive.
I know in Denmark,
yeah.
You met Andreas,
yeah,
one of my friends from Denmark.
Yeah, I see.
He actually gets, so in Denmark, the students get 700 euros every month just to go to university.
Yeah, I know this.
They get paid to go to university.
Yeah, but after probably they have a system with 70% of taxes.
Yeah, yeah. We also heard that the tax in...
For me, it's a good thing, but maybe, I don't know if it could work out like in bigger countries with
yeah,
more
I don't think
much people.
Yeah, there's too many people. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
It could be incredible, and it works in Costa and Denmark. Could if you doesn't count Greenland,
yeah,
Denmark is really small, and I don't know how many people there is there.
To be honest, from my university to Sevilla, there was only two people who applied to Sevilla.
In mine too.
Yeah,
probably I'm the only one.
And
yeah.
You are the only one from your university.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, yeah. And it's hard because for you and for me, I didn't know anyone when I was coming here.
Yeah.
I literally knew no one. I was coming into a country where I didn't know who I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Like I came
so
here.
You don't speak the language.
I don't speak
the
language at all.
Yeah.
I may look a bit Spanish, but that's literally it. Coming here, it's like I didn't have no place to stay. I didn't sort out my room, like with Viva Erasmus.
Yeah.
I just booked my plane tickets and a hotel to stay for 5 days.
Yeah.
And I came here thinking I'm gonna find a place to stay and I'll be all right. So I found this room, I booked it, and then I met you guys. But going to university it's like going to school for the first day ever. You have like back in primary school, you know, in nursery, you go into a class, you know no one. You try to make friends. Like, there was an Australian, so we spoke the same language, and then I got to know the friends, and then one thing led to another, and we all got to know each other. But I think that was the scariest thing, you know, like not knowing anyone, and forcing yourself to be friends with people that you might not like, but. You just got to have some sort of friends here, don't you think?
Yeah, for me it's quite different because I will choose from the beginning. Like I look at the flats all the summer and like we have to say that we live in a flat with... So for me, I live with a flat with 10 other roommates, so it's really big.
Mm-hmm.
But I will choose it. Like when I start searching,
you reserved it.
Yeah, I reserved really soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but at the beginning, so like all the Erasmus flats were free, and so I had I could choose to like go in a flat with only three roommates.
Yeah,
but I didn't expect Erasmus like this.
Really?
I wanna like something big, like with lots of nationality. Like speak to people
from all around the world, right?
Yeah, from all around the world, like learn about all the cultures in a place that I already love.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this also I ever went to cause I'm older, so
mm-hmm.
And I ever went to go like to visit some friends who was in Erasmus, like in Malaga and Huelva, and I saw the way they live, and they always tell me that the best part is the flat, like the life in there, like the roommates,
yeah,
the like you share your life with people that you don't know at
yeah
all.
It is, it is. I never lived alone back home. I was always with my parents. I hardly ever cooked. I just, my dad or my mom, all I do, I just clean my room and, you know, tidy up after myself. But I never stayed by myself where I could, I had to like clean, cook, wash the dishes, wash the clothes. Like this was a challenge. And as you said, when you live with people for so long, like you guys, you become, it might sound a bit cringe, but you become like a family, because you spend so much time together, you eat together, you cook together, you clean together, you make fun, and all these memories add up and you kind of become a family. And me and you, we stay here for 1 year, and most of our flatmates, they go next month, in 2 months. So I think that would be quite a hard goodbye, because you spend so much time together, and like you've gotten used to these people, and you don't want to, have new people coming, basically.
Yeah, of course. If I could choose, I will like keep each one of them, because then I will think that each one of them are really good people. Like, different people, but this is not like diversity is the best thing ever.
Yeah, like we've got an Argentinian, we've got Dutch, German, the French. Like Scotland. We have a Scottish, and we have Syrian and Belgium.
When you will receive her in the podcast, you will have to manage the Scottish accent.
The Scottish accent, we'd have to work with the Scottish.
The worst thing ever.
So the French guy says that the Scottish accent is the worst thing ever.
Also, with Hannah, no, I have a rule that we speak in Spanish, because I don't understand her English at all.
Yeah, Scottish accent is hard to understand. It was probably worse than the others, I'll be honest with you. Like, I could understand you more than I can understand her, because it's a deeper accent. And there's a lot of, we have the Belgium, we have a Syrian guy.
Yeah, like, also.
When they told me a Syrian guy was coming, I was like, what? Like, because I had a prejudgment in my head, you know, I thought everyone in Syria is probably stuck in Syria, you know, it's Syria's a war zone. But getting to know, his name is Sammy. Getting to know Sammy, you realize Syria is actually a normal place, and even though there's a part of Syria where there are some wars, he's from a place where it's peaceful. People are living a normal life. He flies there very often, and this guy is a dentist. Like, we have a dentist in our flat.
Yeah.
He checks our teeth. Nice to know. He said, "I need braces." When the first time I saw him, he looked at my teeth and he said, "Khan, you need to get your jaw checked up. You need braces." Blah blah blah. So it was nice, and we've got Pauline, who, she's an actor.
Yeah,
and
famous in Belgium.
She's famous in Belgium. She filmed a couple of good movies.
Yeah, more than 10 movies.
More than 10 movies and some short films.
Yeah,
and she's been nominated for some awards, I believe. Yeah.
And just tonight, for example, she just came back from Belgium, because she had to make one or two castings.
Yeah, she just come back from Belgium because of her filming and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's dedication, man. And it's nice that we've got such a diverse flat, you know?
Yeah,
it's,
absolutely. Everyone's, I think that everyone's different from, with like different cultures from many origins, but this is the best part.
Yeah, like, because obviously I live in England, but I'm Turkish, so I've got that two cultural view kind of thing. And comparing it like with the Germans, I know there's a lot of Turkish people in Germany, and so they're kind of used to the way I act, because there's a lot of Turkish people there anyway. And for you guys to see how I act, and then I introduced you guys to Turkish food,
and to
the restaurant we went to, like, it's learning about other cultures, like with Martina, where we drank the mate tea. It, when she was describing it, I thought it sounds kind of nice, like tea wakes you up. It's the most disgusting thing I've tried in my life. It is so bad, bro. Like,
yeah, but you know, in France, we saw all the time Griezmann
mate.
Yeah, bring this all the
footballers
time.
Footballers drink it all the time.
So yeah, I want to try.
Ask Martina.
Maybe with this, my left foot gonna be better.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta ask Martina, because I thought Turkish tea was bad because it's quite strong, but this was this was something else, man. Like, I didn't expect it. But the point is here is that you learn things from other cultures, and that is such a good thing, because then any prejudgment you have, it kind of goes out of your mind. Like, Martina's from Chile, Argentina.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, she's a cocaine addict. Like, something like that. Or I asked her, I said, Martina, have you ever done cocaine? Like, do you do it often in Argentina? Is it a big thing? She said she doesn't do it, and she doesn't have any friends that does it on a regular basis anyway. Yeah.
Like, you do.
Yeah. It's strange, it really is.
Yeah, but it's always the same. We always have like quite stereotypes about all countries, but yeah, here you take the time to learn people, and I think it's a really important thing to have also like privileged moments with people, because it's not the same thing to speak with someone or with two people, and to speak like with 10 other roommates, you don't say the same thing. And it's also like good to spend like time with each one.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, you make friends, and
yeah,
these will be your lifelong friends. Like, in a couple of years, you can say, I'm going to Argentina, I've got a friend that lives there. Or I'm going to Germany, I've got a friend that lives there.
Yeah.
Or for me, I'd say I'd go to Normandy, because I know you now. And
you're welcome.
Yeah, like, it's nice to have that links. Like, you know a lot of people, you get to know the culture. And I have to ask you though, when you first met me, what was your first opinion?
You were the first guy. And so I remember I asked you, my first opinion I remember very well, because I asked your Instagram, because at this moment I didn't know how it works like WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And so I asked for your Instagram. So I searched your profile, and on your profile picture, I see that you were wearing a football jersey. And I say, okay, it's going to be my friend.
So me liking football was what caught your mind, basically.
Yeah.
And talking about football, I am a Galatasaray fan.
You know about Madrid fan. We will have to talk. We talk about this.
We can talk about the Madrid and Galatasaray game all night if we could, because for those of you who don't know, I went to, with Nico and Sammy, we went to a Madrid game, Madrid Galatasaray, and we lost. Galatasaray lost 6-0, and it was one of the saddest nights, I think, for me. Like, traveling all the way to Madrid. The journey was nice, the car journey, but
5.5 hours.
Yeah, 5.5 hours to see your team get 6 goals. I think it's pretty good, because a goal an hour, so you're up 5.5. So,
and like, if my calculator is great, I think we calculate that you pay at least 23 euros by goal conceded.
23 euros for every goal conceded. Yeah, I paid slightly more than you guys, because I wanted a better seat to see my team get fucked. pretty much. It was a sad night. But you know what? Just being in the Bernabeu and listening to the Champions League music, and to see my team in Spain, it was good. You know, like, I'm never gonna be able to do that again.
Yeah, for me it's also an incredible memory, because I'm a big fan of Real Madrid since many years, and it was like the first time that I went to see a game there, because I ever visited the stadium like a few years before, but never during a game. So for the first time I see in real life my idol, which is Zidane. So for me it was really incredible. And it was really a dream of
It was a dream country. It really was. Just listening to that music, seeing the players
come out of the pitch. Yeah, being there, listen to this music. Yeah, it's a really strong moment. I feel it like a little bit like national hymns.
Yeah, national teams.
No, like not the song of each nations that they sing before.
National anthem.
Anthem.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I
don't
know this well. Okay, and with the music of Champions League, I feel a bit like the same.
Yeah, I get what you mean. You can put your hand on your heart.
Yeah, and exactly.
Yeah, it was especially Bernabeu. Like, I'd suggest anyone who is thinking of coming to Spain for Erasmus, whether you're a lover of football or someone who doesn't care about football, I think going to a game is also one of the touristic things you can do, because yeah. it's the atmosphere in Spain, it's pretty good, you know. Like in the UK, the atmosphere isn't as impressive, although there's always the stadiums are always full, but the fans aren't as crazy for their teams as they are in Spain, France, Germany.
Just also pull off the price of the ticket.
Yes,
like going to see football is really expensive. There, I've been one time in Chelsea. It was expensive.
Yeah, far. Chelsea games are London. Big teams are always going to be expensive. Yeah. I think Arsenal have the highest price for their tickets. I'm not entirely sure, but and if you're rich and you can afford these tickets, you're less likely to be a supporter who's an ultra fan, you know?
Yeah,
the ultra fans are always those who grow up wishing to play for that team and not having the opportunity, because they're not as privileged as the rich people who can afford the tickets. So therefore, they're not the real fans, and so they don't create an atmosphere.
Yeah,
you know? I think it's always nice to have an atmosphere. And wherever you go, whatever city you do your Erasmus at, I think you should at least attend one of the local games.
Also, I can tell you that a few days after our trip to Madrid, I went to see the derby between Le Betis and Sevilla, the two teams of the city. And
that was something
in the stadium of the Betis. Mm-hmm. And the atmosphere was something incredible.
Like, it's a derby,
it's a derby, and like all the lights, all the stadium was green.
Mm-hmm.
And so really nice atmosphere.
I went. Looking at the videos you guys showed me, it did look like a place I would enjoy myself at.
Yeah, and also like there are many, like you were speaking about, like the fans, the ultra fans in England.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, if you take the Betis team, they have a 50,000 places stadium. They have 45,000 abonnés. Like they have like a
season
year
tickets.
Yeah, season tickets.
Yeah.
So imagine the atmosphere is.
There's
only fans. Biggest fans, and so the atmosphere in the stadium, and I think it's really more like than in the FC Sevilla stadium, San Crespo.
Yeah, because I think historically Betis wasn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sevilla was a better team than Betis all the time, like most of the time.
It's more since few years.
Recently Sevilla has been good in the European League,
of course. But
they won it 3 years or in a row or something with Emery.
Yeah, I remember very well. But I think like 20 or 30 years ago, it was really more Betis. And I think about what I see in the streets, like often like old people are for Betis.
Yeah.
And
the younger,
maybe more for Sevilla because it's the best of them.
It's the better team.
Yeah, it's the better team.
Yeah. Well, Nico, it was a pleasure having you.
Yeah,
today.
It was a pleasure for me.
As my first host in my podcast.
Yeah, first guest.
It was very spontaneous. I just asked Nico.
Yeah, it's Saturday night, or maybe we can say like Sunday morning, because it's almost
nearly 20 to 2. Sunday morning. I just asked Nico, I said, Nico, do you want to make a podcast? Everyone else in the flat went out, I believe.
Yeah, and party. We are the serious people.
Yeah, we are the serious people who like to study at this time instead of going out.
Yeah, exactly. No, I will go to bed first, but tomorrow morning I will be able to wake up and study. And this is a good thing.
And
I think the other will not be able to do this.
Yeah, they won't. What do you think? What do you think of this podcast?
I really like this kind of project. I think like speaking, sharing the experience, it's the best way to make it so that people follow and try this experience, because I really think that Erasmus is a really good experience.
So you would suggest Erasmus?
Definitely. So it's an incredible experience. You will learn a lot of things on the world, on the other countries, cultures, and on the country where you go also, and on yourself, I think.
You go,
you go. You're alone, you have to manage absolutely everything. Like, for example, for me, the first hardest was the washing machine.
I remember you telling me you never washed before.
Never. Like, never. It was your parents doing it. So, yeah, you helped me.
Yeah, I remember helping you.
And you also learned me how to prepare the chicken.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful for this because he is the boss of the chicken. You have to. Everyone have to know this.
Yeah, I mean, if you believe it, I hardly ever cooked by myself back home.
Yeah,
my dad was always a good cook.
Yeah,
so I'd always look at my dad when he was cooking, and I'd look at what he'd put in the mixtures, the spices, and at one point you've got to learn yourself. You can't always watch. So one day I just asked him. He showed me once, and then after it carried on, he just done it. But coming to Seville and cooking for myself, every time it got better. I took pictures every time and sent it to my parents.
Yeah, and also, you are one of the fat who cooked the best, I think, and who tried to
thank you.
The best, and also who try new things quite often.
Yeah, because
we're here quite for so long. Things that I'm proud of you.
Oh,
because me, when I don't have the time, it's not healthy at all. And you, each time, you take the time, you cook, and it's really nice.
Yeah, that's also a very key thing about Erasmus, because you've got to cook.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you can't just eat junk every time, like, otherwise you're going to gain weight.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really isn't a good when you keep eating from outside and oven food and just cooking chips every day. Like, it isn't good.
Yeah, I think there is people who do this, but we're not
quite good with the food.
I think we're good, and so also we make sports.
Yes,
both of us. So it's nice, cool, but like go to school, make sports, cook, sometimes go to party.
It's a nice life.
And also the sunsets are always
the sunsets incredible. In Spain are very nice. The weather's always nice.
Yeah,
sometimes rain.
It's quite more colder now, but
I mean, we're at the end of November. It's gonna be a bit cold. Today was like 20 degrees.
So right now we are the 1st of December. If I remember well, I watched the meteor for tomorrow, and I think it's more than 20 degrees.
20 degrees, on the 1st of December, it's 20 degrees.
That's the life that
we live. It is nice. Well. Again, Nico, thank you for joining me with this with my first podcast with a host. It's been a pleasure. It's been nice talking.
Yeah,
it's always nice talking to you. You know? Yeah, we have our conversations
with you.
Yeah. So, is there anything you'd like to say for the viewers about Erasmus?
Erasmus es una cosa increíble.
Yeah.
Tienes que hacerlo, y más en Sevilla porque es una ciudad increíble, y me encanta el proyecto de mi amigo Khan, y espero que va a tener muchos personas que van a hablar con él, y pienso que es una buena cosa.
See, I wish I understood everything you said there, but I did not understand the word. So I'd imagine he'd say something nice, but thanks again, Nico. And thank you guys for listening. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please don't forget to like, download, and share. It's just the casual conversations between me and my friends, and we're trying to create something nice here for those who listen. So if you've liked the podcast, like it, share it, keep updated by turning the notifications on. So thanks for listening, and peace out.